سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، before I start, I may need someone to write on the board some of the summaries or conclusions that we will reach, inshallah, that will help us all keep track of the discussion. So, do we have a young volunteer? Maybe if... Okay. Inshallah. So, so inshallah, what we'll do... No, we'll tell you what to write as we get to it. Usually I have the board close to me, so I do it myself. But inshallah now, somebody else will be doing it, and we hope that he will get the word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, the subject is belief in al-ba'ath, or in resurrection. And someone would ask that, what is the importance of such a subject? What is the importance of such a subject? Isn't it obvious that we should all believe in al-ba'ath, or resurrection? And it is important to note, it's interesting to know that many people that do not, other than the Muslims, many people, including the people of the book, did not believe in resurrection. And if they did, if some of them did, they believed in it in a wrong way. A large section of the Jews do not believe in resurrection because they say that the Torah of Musa does not mention resurrection. So therefore, there is no resurrection. Whatever you get in this life, that's it. And one would wonder, how could this be the belief of people who received revelation as an ummah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How could that be? When we know, we Muslims, we know that resurrection is one of the six pillars of faith. One of the six pillars of faith, which means if one does not believe in all of them, and if one does not believe in all of them properly, correctly, then his faith is not correct. So how could it be that someone would totally deny al-ba'ath? And of course, many people other than the people, similarly the Christian, their understanding of resurrection is very minimal. And many of them, they do not believe in resurrection. So this is important to note, that Allah Azza wa Jal, among the things that He honor this ummah, our ummah with, is making this understanding of the ba'ath, of resurrection, clear for us, especially knowing that it is a focal point in our actions, and that, and in, as well as being a focal, a basic point or aspect of our belief in Allah Azza wa Jal and His wisdom and justice subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with this understanding, we want to know what are the things that make us believe in resurrection? What are the things that make us believe in resurrection? And we could go get into philosophical arguments about that, or more easily and simply and firmly established would be to follow, to see what are the arguments given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book or in the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that regard. So, let us see that before we next, in whatever time we get after that, learn a little bit about the incidents of resurrection. So the question is, what makes us believe in resurrection? What things, what are the proofs, let's say, that prove to us that there is resurrection or that there will be a resurrection as we know them from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now I want some contribution from the audience. We want to hear whatever you think is a reason for us to believe in resurrection, inshaAllah. So let's see some hands, inshaAllah. It is a fairness or justice from Allah, and okay, justice from Allah. You can write their answers, and inshallah we try to summarize them and get some conclusions from them. Justice from Allah, and do you recall anything to prove this? Any ayah or hadith as a proof for this? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَإِنْسَ إِلَّا يَعْبُدُونَ. We want direct proofs. Maybe, you know, you can take any ayah in the Quran and prove that in an indirect way it is a proof of resurrection. But what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. From Allah is resurrection after death. Is that what you're saying?
No.
That's about judgment, right? But we are talking about resurrection, that there will be a second life. Now, زعم الذين كفروا أن لن يبعثوا قل بلى وربي لتبعثن. So this is an oath that Allah gives, or a command that He gives. He tells to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell them, by oath, by my Lord, you will be resurrected. So this is, what can we classify this as? This is part of Allah is telling us that there will be resurrection. So you can write this as being Allah's information from Allah, or a statement from Allah, something like that. Yeah. No? ثُمَّ نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. What kind of proof is this? This is also an information from Allah Azza wa Jalla. He's telling us that there will be a second life or resurrection. Now, okay, on the day when their hands, their tongues and their hands will be witnesses against them or over them for what they were earning in this life. So this is also information given to us from Allah that there will be a day when there will be resurrection. So this is still under the same point. Any other proofs? No.
I would be Quran first, but the last presentation is that Allah created death before that, so we're just going back to that.
Allah created death before life. Well, there are some ayat like أَمَّا يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. If that's what you are referring to, which means The one who starts the creation, then he repeats it. And it is easier for him. How would you disbelieve in Allah when you were dead and he gave you life? Then he will give you death, then he will give you life. So this is another proof which is saying that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who, from what we see, created us and other beings in stages, or in one state after another. So Allah's creation of different states, you can call it, whoever is writing, creating different states. Now, okay, that's also talking about judgment, that there will definitely be a judgment, that Allah will ask us on the day of judgment, right? So that's part of Allah's information given to us, the information given to us by Allah, that there will definitely be a resurrection, there will be gathering of the people after resurrection, and also they will be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is all part of the information that we got. But also, as I said, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us more proofs that are understandable to us. And so far we have like two of them, or three, is it three? Three. Same thing, that there will be a blow in the horn. Yeah. Exactly. That's the proof for the first point. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ that we wrote there. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Did you think that we created you without reason, futilely, and that you will not come back to us? So that would contradict the wisdom and justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More here the wisdom than anything else. So it is part of the, if we believe in Allah, then part of His wisdom, believe in Him, believe in His wisdom, and that He will not do such a reckless act, that He would create the creation and then let them do harm to each other, and there will be no reckoning in that regard after that. Somebody else has something here? No. تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةِ. Is this the one here? This is still under the same point, number two. Very good. This is another proof. They ask, who can create the us after our bodies have dissolved in the ground? So Allah Azza wa Jal responded to that. قُلْ يُحْيَهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Say, the one who created them the first time will give them life. And he is knowing or knowledgeable about every kind of creation. Yeah, that's good. What, any more? Right, this is still number two, which means Allah is telling us that there will be a certain specific definite time for the doom's hour, for the last hour, and after that there will be resurrection. So, yeah, this is still, you know, supporting point number two. Same thing. So what this is telling us is that there are so many ayat in the Quran about resurrection and about hisab after resurrection. So that's good. We know that, and this is a proof that we remember so many of these ayat. I think we covered most of the proofs. Inshallah, let me go over them quickly. First of all, the point that we put it as number two, which is Allah's telling us about resurrection. And He tells us in many different forms. Like he's saying, إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةً. The hour is certainly coming. Or he's saying, إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَآتِيَةً. The hour is surely coming. Or he's saying, لَيَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. He will surely gather you on the day or for the day of resurrection. And he's saying, زَعْمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّا يُبْعَثُوا قُلْ بَلَا وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُونَ. The disbelievers claim that they will not be resurrected. Say, no, by my Lord, you will be resurrected. Say, rather, by my Lord, you will be resurrected. Then you will be informed about what you had done. And Allah says, قُلْ بَلَا وَرَبِّي لَتَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ. Say, no, yes, by my Lord, indeed, by my Lord, it will come to you, the hour. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about those who deny resurrection. He says, قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ. Those who disbelieve in meeting Allah, in standing before Him on the day of resurrection, that is, they indeed are losers. And as Allah Azza wa Jal also says, أَلَا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُمَارُونَ فِي السَّاعَةِ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. Indeed, those who argue about and who deny in a denying manner the hour, they are indeed in wide or great misguidance. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about the believers who believe in resurrection, praising them. He says, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعَلْمِ يَقُولُونَ أَمَنَّ بِهِ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا إِنَّمَا يَذَّكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمٍ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. So he describes those who have firm knowledge and who have hearts that they say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمٍ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Our Lord, you are surely gathering or will gather the people for a day that there is no doubt about it. And Allah Azza wa Jal describes the believers in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah by saying, Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. بَمَا رَزَقْنَا يُنْفِقُونَ آيَةُ الْأَمِيدَ يَتَبْرَى فِيهُ لَلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنَبْ الْغَيْبَ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمَا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. So Allah Azza wa Jal, one of the descriptions that He gave for the believers in these ayat, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ, and they have certitude, they believe with certitude in the Akhirah, in the last life. And Allah Azza wa Jal describes righteousness in Surah Al-Baqarah, later on in Surah Al-Baqarah, in which the ayah in which he starts by saying, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَنْ تُوَلُّ جَاقِبَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. He says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ, to the end of that ayah, which means rather righteousness is to believe in Allah and the last day and so on. He tells us more of the qualities of righteousness, but above all are the qualities of belief, and of those is believing in Allah and the last day. So this is the first proof that Allah gives that we can take as a proof of the hereafter, of the next life, of resurrection. And that is, for the believer, that is a sufficient proof. So for us, if we believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and in His words, then that's a sufficient proof. We need no more proofs. That's enough for us. And that is the best and firmest kind of proof. As is reported about Umar radiallahu anhu, that, or some of the Salaf, if it is not true about Umar radiallahu anhu, that he was hoping and wishing that he would have a belief like the belief of the old women. The belief of the old women. And whether it's an authentic report or not, the meaning of it is meant to say that it is the simple form of belief that does not get into philosophical arguments that make a person more confused than believing. So for a believer, really, this is the strongest form of belief. To believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, and then once we believe in Him, and in His attributes, in His qualities, in the proper way, then all His promises, all His statements become correct and acceptable to us, and we have no reason to doubt any of them. So, for us, that's a sufficient proof because we absolutely believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and His statements. However, as Allah Azza wa Jal told Ibrahim alayhi salam, or asked Ibrahim when he asked him to show him how he raises the dead. He said, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. He said, have you not believed? He said, yes, indeed. But I want my heart to attain more certitude or serenity. So, to attain more of that, more strength of heart, we can look at the other proofs and also keep them in our mind, in the background of our minds for possible arguments at some points with people that we need to invite them to Islam and teach them about it. So, the second proof from the Quran is that which Allah Azza wa Jal told to the disbelievers in regard to the first creation. That He has first created the first creation, then He is repeating it. And this is one of the points we have on the board there. So, maybe now you can write them in order so that inshallah they will see them at the end, all of them. We said the first point is Allah is telling us, the first proof that we have, which used to be point two, is Allah, you can put number one next to it. Allah is telling us of the resurrection. That is number one. And in different ways, in different forms, in different manners, He told us that there will surely be a resurrection. And secondly, that Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that He created the creation the first time, and it is not hard for Him to do it a second time. And this is easy for us to understand. That for any of us to do something, usually when we do something, like let's say write a letter, or type a letter, or make for carpenters to make a little table or chair or something. When we do it the first time, we make the most mistakes. Now if we try to do it the second time, we do less mistakes. And the third time maybe it will be even, we do better and better. So, with repetition, we improve on our previous acts. We do not do them in an inferior way, but rather in a better way. So that is what we understand from the actions of the human beings. That the second time is easier than the first time. So why don't we then apply a logic similar to this to the creation? Why don't the people, the deniers, apply such an understanding and realize that if Allah, the Creator, created us the first time, then what is hard for Him? From nothing. Why would it be hard for Him to create us a second time? Why? It should rather be easier. It should be easier for Him. And for Him it's not hard the first or the second time. But for the sake of argument, we tell them, if you think that it was easy for Him or possible for Him to do the first creation, then the second creation, if anything, should be easier, not harder. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, وَيَقُولُ, so this is number two. وَيَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ أَإِذَا مَا مِتُّ لَسَوْفَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّا. Which means the human being says, is it that when I die, I will be sent out or resurrected alive? أَوَلَا يَذْكُرُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ يَكُ شَيْئًا. Doesn't the human being remember that we have created him from before, or before that, previously, and he was not anything? Which means, previously he was created from nothing. And then he became a sperm in the womb of his mother, and then he grew into the full size. Whereas the second creation will be easier. His body parts, as they say, have dispersed on earth, and it's very hard to find them. Let's say that it's hard to find them, for the sake of argument again. But the one who created you the first time from nothing, can he not create you a second time from nothing, or from something that are scattered over the earth? And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, in the beginning, or near the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِن كُنْتُ فِي رَيْبٍ مِنَ الْبَعْثِ فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ عَلَقَةٍ, to the end of the ayah. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, all people, if you have doubt about resurrection, then indeed, which means indeed, realize that we created you from dust. That is when he created Adam. Then from nutfa, then from a sperm, then from alaqa, then from a clot of blood, and so on, until he made us or fashioned us into our present form. And he says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْ كَيْفَ بَدَأَ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقَ أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْ كَيْفَ يُبْدِئُ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يَعِيدُهُ. Don't they see how Allah starts the creation and then he repeats it? And he says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. It is he who starts the creation, who initiates the creation, then يُعِيدُ, repeats it. وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. And it is easier for him. It is easier for him in both cases. Or it is from هَوَان, which means for humility and worthlessness. Which means it has no worth. The creation has no worth at all to present any challenge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in either case. وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And he has the greatest example, the uppermost, the highest, the most supreme example, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. The another proof that I don't think that anybody mentioned it earlier is the greatness of Allah's created things compared to the human being. So if we think that it is hard for Allah to create us, if some people think so, then let them look at the great, huge, immense things that Allah created and creates other than us. So we are nothing compared to them. As he says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ. Don't they see that Allah who created the heavens and the earth is capable of creating like them? Like them here means the human beings, not the heavens and the earth. Because he said mithlahum, and he did not say mithlaha or mithlahun, which would refer to the non-human or the غير العاقل, as we say in Arabic, the ones who do not, are the unintelligible. So he did not say that, but he said mithlahum, so this is referring to the human beings. That the one who created the heavens and the earth, which are so great in creation, can't he create and recreate the human beings? And he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ. Same meaning. And he says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَمْ يَعْيَ بِخَلْقِهِمْ. Don't they see that the one who created the heavens and earth, and he did not get tired from creating them, is able to create the human beings? And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. Indeed, the creation of the heavens and earth is greater than the creation of the people. So this is point number four. What did you write, number four? The great creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah, you can say something like that, which means the greatness of Allah's creation, the greatness of Allah's creation. That should be good enough as a reminder. The great creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, the greatness of Allah's creation. That should be good enough as a reminder. And then, the next point, or the next proof that Allah gives us, is that He is capable, subhanahu wa ta'ala, of changing, transforming the creation from one state to another, from one stage to another. And this, I believe, was referred to by some of the brothers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَمُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتِ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. Which means, indeed, Allah is the one who splits the grains and the pits of dates or things like that. He is the one who creates the living from the dead and the dead from the living. So He can transform. It's not hard for Him to create life from death or death from life. And He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يَحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ لِتُرْجَعُونَ. How would you disbelieve in Allah? How can you disbelieve in Allah when you were dead before He created you? You did not have life, He gave you life. Then He will give you death, then He will give you life again. And He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم. He gave us an example. The human being gave us an example, and he forgot his own creation. He said, who can recreate or give life to the bones after they are rotten or they are dissolved in the earth? وهي رميم. قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة. Say, the one who created them the first time, the bones the first time, will give them life again. يحيى الذي أنشأ مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم. And He is knowing about all forms of creation. And so on. The next proof is what we see in this life. It's somewhat related to the previous point. What we see in this life, that Allah Azza wa Jal gives life or creates life, the dead. No, sorry. He gives life from the dead. Like he creates the plants from the dead earth, for example. So the plants are alive. You probably would put a grain that looks dead. You put it in water for a little bit, and then it starts growing. Some sprout or something tiny, and then you plant it and you see a living plant comes out from this dead seed and from this dead earth. So as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنَّكَ تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِعًا فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَدَتْ. Among His signs, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that you see the earth خَاشِعًا, which means submissive, humble, dead. And then once we send down the water over it, it shakes and it grows. It becomes large and big. Tazzat wa rabat. Okay, the other thing, the other proof that Allah gives us is something that not too many of us have witnessed it, but we were told about it. And we were told about it not only by in the Quran, but from other books of Allah, even those that have been, other than the Quran, the books that have been changed and tempered with by the people, and that is that Allah created the dead before us. Resurrected the dead in this life before us. Like, upon the hands sometimes of other people and sometimes directly, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in the example that we referred to of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he requested Allah Azza wa Jal to show him how He creates the dead. And as for the man who asked Allah Azza wa Jalla, when he saw a dead village or town, he said to himself, how could Allah give life to this dead town? And Allah Azza wa Jalla caused him to die for 100 years, and then gave him life, and showed him how he was creating his bones, how his flesh was growing, how his donkey was given life in front of his own eyes. And we know about Isa alayhi salam, Allah gave him the power to give life to some dead people, how Allah Azza wa Jal turned the dead stick of Musa into a living serpent, and so on. So many examples that Allah tells us of His creation, resurrecting of dead people or dead beings after they died, or from scratch, without they even being living when He created them, like in the case of the staff of Musa. And then finally is one point that we mentioned previously, I think some brothers mentioned, and this is related to the very first thing that was mentioned, which is that Allah's wisdom and justice require that there should be resurrection. Allah's wisdom and justice. It cannot be that Allah created things without reason. This, you know, we would not say about, we would not accept this for a reasonable human being. You know, just imagine that, you know, somebody who looks intelligent and smart and so on, sits in a room by himself for hours, and he brings different parts. Maybe he goes to the store, to the lumber store or some other store, and he buys so many different types of materials, screws, bolts, etc., tools to work with them and so on, and he works for days until he creates something that has absolutely no benefit or no use, and he tells people, come and look what I have done. And somebody will ask him, why did you do this? He says, for no reason. What's the benefit of what you did? There's no benefit for it. Can you respect such a person, and the reasoning for such a person? Doesn't make sense for us to hear about a person of reason who acts like this. So how about the creator of the heavens and earth? The creator of the human beings and the jinn? Could it be that he created them and he let them dwell the earth and act in different ways, some of their actions good, some bad, for absolutely no reason? That is impossible, and that contradicts the absolute wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so these are the basic proofs that Allah gives us for that there must be resurrection, that there must be a resurrection. And we got 7 points, right? You have 7 points? Did you write the last one? About Allah's wisdom? Yeah, you can write number one on top. Number one is number 7. And let's see what you missed then. Can you tell us what's number one? Number one. No, he said put number one next to the what was number two, right? That's what we said is number one. So, statement from Allah or statements from Allah is number one. Make it number one. Put number one next to it. No, just put number one next to it. Instead of number two at the beginning, put number one. Yeah. And then what number two is the first creation. That there was the first creation. You got that? That there was, you do not need to erase anything, because you can add and put the number next to it anywhere. But we do not need to waste too much time on this. If you do not have them all on the board, I'd say them quickly. If you follow with me, you can mark them, inshallah. Number one is Allah's information that Allah gave us about this, and we believe in what Allah told us. Number two is the first creation. Number three is the greatness of some of what Allah created compared to the human beings and the creation of the human beings. The fourth is Allah's capability of changing from one state to another. And number five is that Allah brings the living from the dead and the dead from the living, as we see with our own eyes. And number six is that what Allah tells us, that He created or He resurrected dead things and dead people in the past as miracles. And the last one was Allah's wisdom. That Allah's wisdom necessitates that there will be a day of resurrection. Okay? So we have those 7 points. Now that we believe in the day of resurrection, and we believed in it, but now, inshallah, we have a better understanding of the belief in the day of resurrection and why people are supposed to believe in the day of resurrection. Now let us understand some of the incidents that take place on that day. How much time do we have?
5 minutes.
5 minutes, that's it? Okay. The main incidents. Okay. Now, of course, we are living in this life, what we call the first life, or ad-dunya, or hayat ad-dunya, or the lowly life, the lowest life. Dunya means the lowest. And we know that this life will be ended at some point. And that point is called in the Quran, in different places of the Quran, as As-sa'a, the hour. And the hour means the last hour or the last day, as they translate it sometimes. So it is the end of the time, the end of time on this earth. That is when everything will be destroyed. The clock, the time clock on this earth will stop. That is As-sa'a. And this is the beginning of the next life for the people collectively, or for everyone on earth, even though for everyone, for a single individual, as soon as he dies, then his qiyamah starts, as some hadith tells us, which means that for any of us, the moment of death is the beginning of the next life. Or it is the beginning of the intermediate life, al-barzakh, and which joins to into the second life in the that we call it the hereafter. But it is, as some scholars called it, al-qiyamatu sughra. It is the minor qiyamah, because it is a preparation for qiyamah al-kubra, when everybody will be resurrected. So for people as a whole, for the humanity as a whole, it ends by the hour, the last day. And that last day takes place after certain signs take place, as Rasulullah ﷺ foretold us. When all of these things happen, then after that, or soon after that, how soon, Allahu Alam, the last hour comes. And among those signs, and among the last of them, is the coming of Isa alayhi salam, the coming of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the death of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and then the death of Isa and all the believers with him. These are among the last things that happen on earth. After that, there will be no one who has belief in his heart, or full belief in his heart on earth, and until there will be a person, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, who will say, "I heard my grandparents say La ilaha illallah, so I say it. So he doesn't know what anything from Islam except this word that he remembers from his parents. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that after the death of Isa, there remains on earth the worst of people, shirarun nas, wa alayhim taqumu as-sa'ah. And upon them, the hour, the last hour, is established. Okay, so that is the end of this life. And this is ended, Allah Azza wa Jal puts a marker on its end, or a thing that prompts that end, which is the blow of a horn by an angel. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that how would I feel security when I know that the person, the angel who carries, who as soon as the horn is blown, then everything is destroyed. As Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah Yasin, وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَائِقَ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. No, not Surah Yasin. In Surah Zumar. Surah Zumar and similar ayahs in Surah Al-Naml. وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَائِقَ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Which means the horn was blown, or the blow was made into the horn, or into a sur, and then everyone on in the heavens and on earth, sayqa was, sayqa could mean died, or it could mean fainted, or lost consciousness. Could mean any of these meanings. And so for the people, this means that everyone, for the people on earth, they will all die with the blow of this horn. So once the horn is blown, that's the end of life on this earth. فَصَائِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Except for those whom Allah wills. And if you get into the discussions of the ulama like Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, Ibn Hajar, Ibn Fath al-Bari, and so on, you find that they have lots of discussions about this ayah, إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ, except for those whom Allah wills. Who are those that Allah wills for them not to to lose consciousness with the blow of the horn? And some say that it is just the angels. Others say it is the souls of the include the angels and the souls, because they say that the when a person dies, you know, his soul remains in al-barzakh, which means in the intermediate life. And as we know from some authentic hadith, that for the souls of the believers, they are in the form, or they are inside birds in the Jannah, flying in Jannah, or they take the form of birds that fly in Jannah for the believers. So the souls of the believers, as well as the disbelievers, their souls are there. And as Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, that He takes the souls to Him. Allah يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا. Allah takes away the souls at the time of their death. So Allah has the souls. The question is, do the souls also die? And, you know, this is, it doesn't appear that this is what is meant by the ayah, Wallahu A'lam. Because the word man usually refers in Arabic to a person. And the soul is not a person. The soul is a thing. We do not say to the soul, we do not use the articles of Arabic as we use for the persons. So it cannot be referring to the souls. Wallahu ta'ala alam. But what I'm saying is that the ulama argue as to whether the souls die or not. Whether the Hur al-Ayn in Jannah will die or not. Because some of them are created, as we know from some other hadith. That when a woman hurts her husband, his wife of Al-Hur al-Ayn will say, do not harm him, because He is only temporarily with you and he will soon come to us. And there are some other ahadith which tell us that they are, or some of them at least, are already created and living. So will these die, the angels, will they die? Some say all the angels will die except a few of them with the blow of the horn. Now, if this is important for us to know, Allah Azza wa Jalla would have told us. But He did not tell us, so there is no reason for us to really dig into it. Especially since there is no proof to give more weight to any of those statements over others. So we cannot say whether the angels die or not. We cannot say anything about the souls. We cannot say about Al-Hurayn. But we can say for sure that the people on earth will die, all of them. And how many of the angels will die? Allahu A'lam. It's in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the jinn will die for sure. So this is with the first blow of the horn. And then there is another blow of the horn after that, as you heard from the ayah. ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. Then it was blown a second time, and there they are, or there they are standing up and looking around. So with the second blow, the people are resurrected. How long there are between the two blows of the horn? Any idea? Anybody has any idea how long will be between the two blows? First, anybody has an idea how long it will be between the death of Isa alayhi salam and the first blow of the horn? How many? I saw somebody raise his hand. You are raising your finger? Okay. You know, that reminds me of, some brothers, they say they go to auctions and sometimes they are scratching their head and they think that they are raising their hand, so they keep raising the price when they lay their hand to their head. 40 years between what and what? Somebody said 40 years, huh? Between the two blows. Okay, how about, that's close. How about between the death of Isa and the last hour, the first blow? There's nothing to tell us. We do not know. I mean, it could be just a few generations because of the hadith that I told you, or it could be many, many generations. It could be hundreds of years. Allahu Alam, we don't know. For us who are dead under the earth, and our souls, we hope, we ask Allah that they will be in Jannah with the souls of the believers. For us who are dead, that time count doesn't matter much. And therefore, it is really not of importance to us to know how many ages or generations there are between the last Muslim dying and the doom's hour. Between the two blows, all what we know is what Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are 40 between the two blows of the horn. And he was asked, 40 what? Is it 40 days? And he said, I refuse to say. And they asked him, is it 40 weeks or something? They asked him, and he said, no, I cannot say. And they asked him, is it 40 years? And he said, I refuse to say. Abayt every time. Now, abayt doesn't mean that he knows and he does not say, he did not want to say. I don't believe so, because as we know, the Sahaba were keen to transmit, to convey the message, the knowledge that they had from the Prophet ﷺ. So they could not have hidden anything like this information if it was given to them. But it means that he heard something from the Prophet ﷺ and he is just conveying what he heard. He is refusing to say any more than what he knows. So we do not know. We do not know. And the question could be, is there time after the end of this life? Does time make sense anymore? That's a philosophical question, of course. And you can try to answer it in a philosophical way, if you like philosophy. Whatever it is, if Allah Azza wa Jalla destroyed the earth and there is no more rotation of the earth around itself, or the rotation of the moon, the movement of the planets, and so on, then time becomes of totally different meaning, to say the least. So what is the meaning of time in that case? And what is these 40? Does it mean 40 compared to certain duration that we know from this life, or what? Allahu a'lam. But it tells us that there is a certain duration between the two. It is not like the first blow is given right after the other. And even if it is, you know, millions of years, same thing as I said before, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for us, and the count is not, we are not counting like we are not holding our clocks in the grave and saying now it is time for the doom's hour, now it is, or set our alarm and say now it is getting close, and so on. There is no meaning for all of that. So all we know is that there will be a second blow some time after the first blow. When the second blow is sounded, everybody gets up from the graves. Now the scholars differ also as to whether there is a third blow or not. Some say there is, some say there isn't. There is no clear proof for a third blow. There is no authentic hadith to indicate that there is a third blow. And for sure there is no proof for a fourth blow, as Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, says that there are four blows in the horn. So what is definite is the two, and that is all what we should go by. So after that come the incidents of resurrection and al-mahshar, the gathering of the people. And since the time is up, then inshallah we postpone that to another lecture, some other time inshallah, in 40 from today. الله تعالى وصلى الله على محمد وعلى صحبه وسلم
جزاه الله خيرا شيخ ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these words on the scale of the Now we come to the end of this lecture. I think because the Sheikh of Ramadan time, we will have the Adhan and the Salah, and the questions inshallah will be after the Isha for about 10 minutes. So we'll have enough time to cover this issue inshallah. I would just like to remind you that tomorrow, after the lecture, there will be a Tafsir of Quran by the Sheikh Anna or Harab. And then by 11 o'clock, there will be a workshop on Aqeedah, Fiqh, by Sheikh Anan in Arabic, and Aqeedah Wasatiyah by Sheikh Waleed, very soon in English. That will be from 11 to 12, inshallah, tomorrow, and Fajr till 6:30 will be a program on Tafsir al-Quran. This program, we ended the first part of the speech. This is the time for questions, and we expect the questions to be limited to the topic of the Sheikh. Inshallah, written we accept. And if there's anyone who would like to ask the question, you're welcome to. Inshallah. We have about 15 minutes to finish the program, inshallah.
Until 11. Okay. Any questions? If there are no questions relating to the subject, you can ask other things like how old I am and
if someone dies in the blood of kufr,
okay.
The resurrection day come with the kufr.
The question is, if when someone dies in a land of kufar, is he gonna be resurrected with them on the Day of Judgment or the Day of Resurrection? And the answer is that there is no proof of such a thing. There is a proof that whoever imitates some people, then he will be resurrected among them. One who imitates some people, who likes to imitate some people like disbelievers, like musicians, let's say somebody loves music and singers, somebody loves football players, then he may be resurrected among them if he loved them to such an extent that his love would conflict with his love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, as would probably, most probably be in the case of that example that I mentioned.